The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hello, Dr. Ray.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Well, I don't know about that.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
You came to the wrong place.
So what do I do?
Well, I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do.
This is wonderful advice. This is what I needed to hear.
You're right on track with this. You're right on track.
Can everybody make a mistake?
Does that comfort you?
No.
Am I close?
No.
You are the best thing that has ever happened to people.
Did I make you feel a lot better or what?
No, you made me feel worse.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
On the basis of that small sample size of callers, I did a little informal tabulation. About half of them thought I gave them something useful. About half of them thought I didn't. It's about 50%. Which means if you call here, you got about a 50-50 chance of getting anything that's helpful to you. That's not bad. I mean, if we were playing baseball and I hit 300, that'd be 3 out of 10 chance. So, not a problem there. 50-50? I'll take it. It's as good as flipping a coin. Glad to have you with me. One quick item. I did not do this. When I visited Billings, there was a truck driver who came there and said that he listens always on the road. And he said, boy, I just feel really, really good if you gave me a shout out. So my friend from Lewiston, Montana. Howdy. I hope you hear this. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to get onto the program. Filling in for Andrew Kruchek, my producer man, is Dan today. Dan the man. You can't say that anymore. You used to be able to say stuff like that, but you just can't. I heard something the other day that I thought the guy was being facetious. He wasn't being facetious. He was reporting on the caravan that's coming up toward our southern border. He was there. He was immersed in the caravan. And he said 90 to 95% of the people in the caravan were young males. And then he said something to the effect of, pardon me for assuming gender. I thought he was being facetious. I guess that's not true. I'm hearing that on college campuses now, the kids are instructed, do not assume anyone is male or female. Wow! Do not assume anyone is male or female. When he said that, I looked at his face and I thought, well, he's going to crack a smile. He didn't crack a smile. Whew. Oh, well. 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. If you are number challenged acronymically, it's 877-57-EQUAL. And you will also get Eric Dumont, who is the first line call screamer. Dan is there to, he is the remora. You know, sharks have these fish around them that kind of scavenge. They get the stuff that the shark can't handle. Well, Dan is kind of the call screamer remora. Anything that Eric can't handle, Dan is there to pick up. And then the third level is me. I think that takes care of business. There's a prayer attributed to St. Francis. Lord, give me the, and I paraphrase, give me the courage to change the things I can change, to accept the things I can't, and the wisdom to know the difference. We get frustrated when we can't change something. Now, there are essentially two or three things that are major in our lives that we cannot change. We can't change the past. Past is gone. Whatever happened back there, you can't do a thing about it. You can't. You can't go back. Superman could. When he flew faster than the speed of light in the comic books, he could go back into the past. And then if he tried to change the past, it would mess you up. Okay. You cannot change other people. Oh, Dr. Ray, come on. When we interact with others, we attempt to influence them. We attempt to change their mind. We attempt to get them to see reason. We attempt to converse with them to help them to understand. Yes, but you have to, you don't have to do anything. I hate when I say that. It's wise to remember that if they don't want to change the way they act, if they don't want to change how they treat you, if they don't want to change who they are, you can't do anything about it. You can attempt to persuade and influence, but in the end, notice I didn't say, but at the end of the day, what a cliche. In the end, they decide if they're going to alter anything they think or do. I want to talk about the past. The early theories in therapy, particularly Freud, made the point that we are who we are today because of what happened to us then, particularly in our childhood. Whatever happened to us in our childhood. Now, Freud had very, very specific theories about certain stages you went through in your childhood. And if you didn't resolve those stages right, then as an adult, you were going to have certain kinds of pathology. The vast majority of therapists, mental health people, do not follow Freudian theory. However, he has left his fingerprint on so much of this because the idea that if we know what happened to you when, we can somehow reassess it, help you to look at it in a different way, and that will change who you are now. Let me use a small example on this. If you smoke, what was your main reason for beginning to smoke? Did you want to look cool? Did you want to try it out? Did you think it was grown up? Are those your reasons now? If you're going to quit smoking now, what you have to do is totally unrelated to then. Or let's say that you had unloving parents. You come from a home that was split early, and the parent you were with was far short of affectionate, far short of solid discipline. Parent may have had their own emotional struggles and problems. And you look back on that and you say, well, gee, that's why I'm so insecure now. I never got a feeling that I was valuable or I was loved. I never sensed it. Never happened. That's why I am the way I am now. That's why I'm so insecure. That's why I'm so sensitive. That's why I'm so emotional. Perhaps. Could be part of it. But whatever you do now to get over that is completely unrelated to what happened then. You can't go back and rewire your childhood experience. You can look back on it and have some sense of, well, I guess I understand a little bit why I am the way I am now. Okay. But understanding does not mean change. Insight does not mean cure. Just because you know some of the factors when you were 11 years old that entered into all of this doesn't mean that you can change now on the basis of re-understanding those factors. You've got to decide now what you're doing to yourself. Yeah, how all this came about may be something you'd want to study, look into, assess, talk about, but only as it is related to how you can change yourself now. If I'm an insecure guy, and I'm convinced that my insecurity stems from the fact that I didn't know much love when I was growing up, or that I had a parent who constantly put me down, or I lived in a family where my sibling was the golden child and I was second, low dog on the sled kind of thing. Okay. How will that help me change who I am now? How will that help me get over my insecurity now? When I tend to take what people say and get shook up and hurt really easily. Well, you got to go. You got to look back. And once you realize that that your mom or your dad wasn't real affectionate to you, okay, good. You got that now. So now you're not sensitive anymore. Right. Right. I guess I can say this about looking at the past. If it gives you a sense of understanding of what factors may have entered into and shaped who you are today, okay. But to look at the past and to say, if I understand how this all came about, I'll be better. Not likely. What you have to do now to change it is very different from merely looking back and saying, oh, that's why I am the way I am. 877-573-7825. 877-57 equal Dr. A.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
Every single day, I get to help our listeners of the Sunrise Morning Show wake up, find out what's going on in the church and the world, and then walk with them as we all seek to grow in knowledge and love of Jesus Christ and the Catholic faith. I mean, how could it get any better?
The Sunrise Morning Show with Anna Mitchell and Matt Swaim. Tomorrow morning, 6 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Hey, this is Chris Stefanik. Choosing the right college is one of the most important decisions in your child's life. Unfortunately, many young people find themselves at universities where their faith is disparaged, truth is rejected, and reason is forgotten. Franciscan University of Steubenville is different. It's a place where students and faculty are passionate about their Catholic faith, truth is sought after, and academic excellence is the standard. As a dad and alum, it's the only school I'm interested in sending my kids to. Check out franciscan.edu today.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Are you fed up with the current healthcare system, paying too much for your healthcare cost? Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Best yet, Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. Visit SolidarityHealthShare.org to join like-minded Catholics in sharing medical expenses.
The Doctor Is In is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
I'm getting it. I really do. I'm starting to understand male-female communication. My wife just finished reading Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. And she told me, she said, it says in here that sometimes women don't want men to fix their problems. We guys kind of want to solve things. She says that the book says it's better if we just understand, put our arms around them and say everything's going to be okay. So I'm thinking about this. I figure, okay, I gotta get this. I gotta get this. She came out yesterday morning, and there was a flat tire. Her car had a flat tire. I'm thinking, okay, all right, time to put my newfound understanding of communication between men and women to work. I looked at the tire. I looked at her, and I said, honey, I think everything's going to be okay. I gave her a big hug, and I headed for work. Now, I've gotten 12 texts from her since then. I haven't answered any of them, but she's blown up my phone. I don't get it. Oh, I know what it is. I know what it is. What a dummy me. She's probably so pleased that I really started to understand it all. Anonymous caller from Florida. Hi, anonymous caller from Florida. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I appreciate your call. What's going on?
Okay, so a dear friend of mine is recently experiencing a flare-up in her husband's depression. And she says that he says one of the ways that alleviates his depression symptoms is when they are able to be physically intimate.
Mm-hmm.
But they had a baby a year ago. They're financially a little tight, and this depression is really kind of rocking their marriage. So I kind of support them in their decision to try to avoid it at the moment. But because she's postpartum, her cycle's kind of crazy, and that calls for a lot of abstaining. And whenever she kind of has to play the gatekeeper, he kind of huffs and puffs and gets really angry. And the last argument they had, he was throwing things across the room. She doesn't feel she's in any danger because none of it was directed at her. But if this kind of temper tantrum happens every time, I don't know. That's a lot of red flags for me. And she was saying that they don't sleep in the same room anymore because any physical contact sets him off. And I just don't know how to counsel her. And because they're kind of financially tight, this is their fourth child, so they've been open to life. But because they're financially tight, they can't really afford going to a marriage-friendly counselor because it's not on their insurance plan.
Well, they can go to a community agency that will probably charge them on a sliding fee scale. So if they're looking if they're looking for a private counselor, yeah, they're right. If their insurance doesn't cover anything like that, they can go. I used to work at a mental health center, two of them, as a matter of fact. And when people came in, financial situations, I mean, they got four kids, so probably they're going to meet the financial guidelines for help from the agency. And they can say, yeah, we got some real struggles in our marriage here. Now, the problem's going to be, of course, they're going to a public agency, and they don't know if the therapist they get is going to respect their Catholic viewpoint. The risk is that the therapist may say something to the effect of, well, you know, given everything you're telling me, it's probably best if you guys split. Hopefully that won't happen. And if they go to the therapist and you tell your friend, when you go to the therapist, you say splitting is not an option. Okay, so we need to find out how best to get along a little better. I'll give a little, he'll give a little regarding this. But I would say one thing about this for you, dear. You got to watch getting yourself in the middle of that. You truly do. I know she wants to come to you and she wants to tell you how unhappy and frustrated she is. But if somehow they work this out, he's probably going to know that you heard all about how terrible he was. Do you suspect any of that's happening already?
Well, we're part of kind of a faith-sharing group that he's well aware of. I don't know that she has divulged exactly what she has communicated to us.
Us. Ooh, so, us. In other words, she's saying...
To the group.
Yeah, I'm saying she's saying all this stuff to a bunch of people.
It's a very small, intimate group, and it is meant to guide us in our vocation. So it's not like a gossipy type thing.
Well,
it's meant to be virtue-driven. It's supposed to be.
Okay, well, you're talking to a guy who's real cautious about that stuff because, at the very least, it's going to be very, very difficult for the people in your group not to look at him as a really bad guy. They may say they don't, but as she continues to discuss his behavior and his conduct, what I would suggest in your group is that to the degree that you can, you don't commiserate with her and you say, okay, what do you want to do to make this better? Maybe the first thing you ought to do is go back in the same bed. Oh, I can't do that. I just feel miserable. I don't want to be near him. Well, if she wants things to smooth out, she may have to be the one to start making these moves that she doesn't want to make. Okay, so that's one thing. Second thing is get her, if possible. Now, my guess is they're probably not going to want to go anyway. But if possible, to call the local public mental health facility and see, on the basis of their income, what they'd have to pay. It's probably 20, 30, 40 bucks, if that, per session. Okay? But be very careful about that. It is all so easy. I've been involved with these many times, groups. It is all so easy. Because keep in mind this. You are hearing what she is saying, which is her perception of what is going on. I'm not saying she's at all lying. I'm not saying she's exaggerating, but she is subjective. We all are. I got a feeling that if he came and sat there and said, let me tell you how I see things, you'd be a little surprised at how differently they both view this marriage. Just some caution there, dear. Thank you for the call. All righty. Gosh, got some heavy ones up here. Gloria from Elmira, New York. Hi, Gloria.
Hi. Hi, doctor.
Thank you for the
call.
Can
you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, I was calling because I'm going through grief. My brother died about 3 weeks ago. And I've been a widow 30 years, and he was a big support to me. And I was to him, too, because he was blind, and we did a lot of things together. But I was wondering if, when you go through grief, can grief attach itself to old grief? Or say, like, well, I try to keep my spirit clean, like I go to confession a lot and try to be a good person, but in the past, sometimes when I went through grief, like when my sister died, I kind of got stuck in it or something, and sometimes got bad attitudes or maybe bad habits, like I think nobody cares about me, or I think
you got ripped off by life.
I didn't want to do much.
By God, you got ripped off. You lost your husband young, and now your brother that means the world to you, he's gone too. Is this the way God is treating you? Do you have any part of that thinking in there, dear?
Yes, I do, a little bit. Not so much at God, but a little mad at my brother.
What did he do?
Sometimes at friends or family, because they don't seem to, like, care about me or reach out to me or something.
Well, first of all, if you want to have some peace, you got to recognize that not all people, family included, are going to be charitable. They may be caught up in their own lives for whatever the reason. Maybe they're selfish. Maybe they're distracted. I don't know. But you can't look at it and say, how can they be so insensitive to me that makes me feel terrible? It kind of touches on something I didn't get into in my opening monologue, which is one of the things you also can't change is other people. So
yeah.
if they're not going to be all that supportive and they're not going to reach out to you, they're not going to say, well, Gloria's all alone now. We better make sure we make her a part of our lives. That's no reflection on you, dear. It is not. You're not a bad person. You're not a throwaway because they're not doing this. I have no idea why they're not doing it. My sense is that most of the time when people do it, keep in mind, Gloria, unless I believe somebody has a pretty deep religious conviction, they're less likely to give up parts of their own life to reach out for somebody else.
Oh, okay.
All right, so if they're not a religious people, you may not get that. But one other point here before that music cuts me off. It's okay to feel grief. It's all right. You feel sad. No question about that. You don't want to get mad at your brother. Pray for his soul. Be hard to be mad at him when you do that.
Where are servants of prayer? The Christian family is the first place of education in prayer, says the Catholic Catechism. The family is the domestic church where children learn to pray and to persevere in prayer. Ordained ministers are also responsible for forming their brothers and sisters in prayer. Many in the religious life have consecrated their whole lives to prayer. The consecrated life is sustained by prayer and is one of the living sources of contemplation and spiritual life of the church. Catechesis aims to teach all members of the church to meditate on the Word of God in personal and liturgical prayer, internalizing it in order to bear fruit in a new life. Prayer groups and spiritual direction can also be powerful tools in the practice of prayer. A spiritual director should be chosen with great care, for as St. John of the Cross warns, as the master is, so will the disciple be. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
Look, Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
How do I handle difficult family members? When do I correct others? When do I hold my tongue? Too often, we're late in realizing that we mishandle a situation, causing both resentment and frustration. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. And in my new book, Thinking Like Jesus, I tackle these questions and more. Check it out and more of my books at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Dr. Ray Grindy, thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. 877-573-7825 is the number to call to get on to the program. Lots of calls up there. Anonymous from New Jersey wants to talk about something I said in my monologue. The past. The past is there. It can't be changed. It can be relooked at. It can be somehow tried to be understood. But our caller says that a lot of stuff happened in my past that I think has messed me up. Hi, caller.
Hi. Hi. Thank you.
You are welcome, dear. So are you clinging to the fact that this stuff happened to you and therefore you really don't have any power to overcome it?
I've tried, and, maybe it's an excuse. Maybe, yeah, I'm open to that, but I think it really damaged my life.
And I don't think it's an excuse. I don't think it's an excuse. It might be an erroneous belief.
Well, it was pretty bad. My mother hated my guts. I was the fourth child of... After three, she didn't want any more. She had me. She was mad, very, very pissed and angry. And, it just, wow. Like, really? Okay. So, anyway, I sit and dwell on this stuff, and I've been dwelling on it most of my life.
You know why you're dwelling on it?
Do I know why? Not really. Yeah. Maybe an excuse.
No, I think you're thinking, how... unfair. Mother who is supposed to love her children. I got completely ripped off. I didn't get a mother. Talk about a shaft. And I think that's at the base of your struggles. Instead of saying, yeah, I was born to a woman who... really didn't show me much love or affection. Okay.
No.
How old are you now, dear, if I may ask?
Almost 62.
Oh, for heaven's sake. So for 50 years, you've been letting this stuff eat
at you. Exactly.
Oh, my dear.
Yes.
Are you a Christian?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Well, wait a minute. I got a question for you. Is there any love more valuable than Jesus has, especially for his disciples? You?
No, and I do think about that. Yes, I do.
Do you realize what you got in being a Christian?
Him?
Yes.
Oh,
and having known of him, do you realize that even now you could have been born anywhere else and never have heard of him? I think, now this is going to shake you up, but here's the way I think you ought to reinterpret your past.
Mm-hmm.
You ought to thank him for allowing you to be born to your mother. Do you know why?
No.
All right. This is why you came to me. Because the chain of events that started way back in your childhood, somehow, some way, God used to bring you to him.
Ah.
The greatest blessing that you could possibly imagine. If I were to say to you, Anonymous, you got a choice. You can be born to the most loving parents in the world, but when you're 23, you're going to turn from God and you're going to go your own way and ignore him the rest of your life. And then face him. Or you can be born to a mother who didn't want this fourth child, and for whatever the reason, didn't show much love to this fourth child. But somehow, some way, God found a way to draw you close to him through this. Now, which one would you choose?
You know, you're absolutely 100% correct here. But my mother wanted me to be a nun. Yeah. And I wanted to get married.
Well, that's her decision. Don't worry about that. My mother wanted me to be a nice person. I showed her. You know?
Well, anyway, I think she kind of screwed up my life.
Wait a minute. Stop it. She didn't. If you really look at this with any kind of depth, you'll see that because of her, somehow, some way, in a way you don't understand, God took that and brought you to him so that you will have infinite reward when you leave this earth. That was a tiny price to pay.
Okay.
You've been looking at this all wrong for 50 years.
Yeah. Okay. No. All right. Thank you. That's wonderful. So he used it for a good purpose.
For more than a good purpose. For an infinitely valuable purpose.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. You're really fabulous. You really are.
Well, I was waiting on the phone long enough for you to say that. It took you long enough to say that. If you'd have said it earlier in the call, I could have disconnected you. But no, I had to wait. Bless your heart, sweetie. Thank you for the call.
Thanks.
I'll talk to you. All right. A minute and a half. Rather than take another call, I shall ramble for about a minute and a half, which is quite easy for me to do. I had an event. Now, this shows you how out of whack my priorities can be. I had an event the other night playing softball in the championship game where I came up to bat in a very critical situation. It was a championship game. There was men on second and third. Actually, bases were loaded because they walked the guy to get to me because they wanted me to hit. I'm the old guy on the mound. And I did something that was probably, well, not cool. But I said, Lord, if you could help me out on this one, just help me hit the ball well. I hadn't swung in 6 weeks because I was nursing an injury. It was 30 degrees out the other night. I had already stood in the cold for 2 hours while we played a game before that. There was no way I was going to go up there swinging like a creaky fence gate and try to get a hit. But somehow, some way, maybe there was a big hand that guided that ball. And I didn't see exactly how it happened. But when the dust cleared, I was standing on first, and the tying run had scored. Now, I could have easily hit into a game-ending double play because my injury did not allow me to run full speed. And even at full speed, I don't have the foot speed anymore like I did 20, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, whatever it was. So I'm thinking, what a way to end it all. Hit into a double play in the championship game with a tying run on third with one out. But it didn't happen that way. I came home sky high. Sky high. That's probably a bigger emotional rush than I had in a long time. Boy, am I out of whack. I'm Dr. Ray.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I often go back to my childhood. In church, we love to be reverent, to Christ present in the Eucharist, to Christ on the cross. But I was also impressed by the reverence of my friends in the Salvation Army. They had a little band, and I used to walk past the band on Sunday morning on my way to church, and I was just a child. But I said, you know, they're trying to pray to God. They're showing reverence to God. All this was reverence. Now what do I see? I hear one irreverence after another. And week after week, month after month, the media churns out things that make fun of religion in general and make fun of Christianity in particular, and particularly make fun of the Catholic Church. No class. Absolutely no class.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
He always starts with the good things. You know, the seven letters to the churches and the book of Revelation is a great way to write letters to other people, by the way, or to have conversations with other people. You start with what's going well. You do this, this, and this really well. I love it. Thank you. Here's what you're lacking. And I think for many of us as men, what the Lord's communicating at that second part of the letter or the second part of the conversation is, here's what we're lacking. You don't ever spend enough time with me. You have no idea what I'm trying to offer you in the gift of my friendship. Or if you do, you don't make time for it. And if you would but come to me, I would change your life like that. But you don't come. Not with the regularity that I want you to come. Not with the ardor and the fervor and the passion that I want you to come. I have a hunch, more than a hunch, that's what he says to me. And I got a hunch that's what he would say to many of us.
Socks match. They're the same thickness. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Thanks for joining me here on The Doctor's Inn, Monday through Friday, 1 o'clock Eastern Time. The TV show, Living Right with Dr. Ray, just finished up taping its 8th season, so hopefully that will air fresh sometime in the next couple of months. Season 7 is running right now. And from California, a common situation, a common question. And I hopefully have an uncommon answer. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Dr. Ray. How are you?
I am fine. You sound like a young mom.
I am. I am in my 30s, and I have a one-year-old baby.
One-year-old baby. And you are worried about certain extended family members who are doing all kinds of stuff that what kind of influence could they have on your baby, right?
Yes, I mean, right now, probably not too much influence, but I'm just thinking in the future and how, well, as our family grows.
You're assuming they're not going to change their ways, right?
Yes, that is the assumption.
Okay. These brothers, sisters, siblings, it made it sound like you see them a lot and you'd like to see them a little less.
Yes.
And you're afraid of...
My brother-in-law.
Okay. You say you're afraid of backlash. From who? From whom?
Well, from my sister-in-law, because we've had backlashes, so it isn't an unfounded fear.
Okay. See if I got this right. This is your husband's brother, and when
no,
you have
my husband's sister's husband, so brother-in-law in that sense.
Okay, got it. They know that you're already starting to be ill at ease about seeing them as much because he seems to, as you say here, he's into drugs and immoral conduct, right?
I'm not sure if they're aware because I've noticed, and there are just very obvious troubling things like within their marriage that I've noticed. Mm-hmm. But in talking, because I went to another family member with my concern and just wanted to talk about it. And then it was revealed to me that he was doing drugs like cocaine. Mm. But she's not sure if my sister, if his wife is even aware of that.
Why do you see them so often?
My husband's side of the family is very close-knit, and his parents, you know, like, they want everyone to be
one big happy
to each other.
One big happy family. Yeah. All right.
One big happy family, that's right. And everyone lives very close to each other, so it would be, you know, if there's a family gathering, you know, if we're
you would be clearly recognized, family. You would be clearly recognized as the thorn in all of this. Their son's
yes.
wife is already throwing a wrench into our close family. She's the one. She's
yes.
judgmental. She's doing these things. Does your husband agree with you?
Oh, yes. We're on the same page.
All right. I guess I would say this. Okay, maybe the guy has problems in his marriage, and maybe the guy's using drugs. What's his conduct like when you get together? Is he a problem?
Not usually, no.
Okay. Then I think
sometimes
that's your
too much, but
that's your direct concern. Your direct concern is, what's this guy like when you're around him? Personally, in my own life, I've had people that I know are into all kinds of stuff. All right.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as that stuff doesn't directly impinge upon me or my kids, and I can be part of some kind of loving circle for them, I'll do my best to do that. This guy and your sister-in-law obviously are struggling in their marriage, according to you, and he mm-hmm. may be using illicit drugs, according to you. But for the most mm-hmm. part, you've got this family that either wants to ignore that or says, well, we've mm-hmm. got to just have a big, happy family, and that's the way it is. And they're going to look at you and say, here she goes, the Christian one, doesn't want to be around any of us. You got to watch mm-hmm. out for that. You really got to watch out for that. So if it's not, yeah. my suggestion is, if it's not directly affecting you in a negative way in these family gatherings, then just go with it. Be pleasant, be loving, be caring, be sweet. You know, hey, you might even let him hold your kid, you know. I think you can only win. If it gets to the point where it is a negative effect, then you have to make that decision. All right, sure. Thank you. Thank you for the call.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Ray.
You're welcome, honey. I better take a break. These breaks come around. They come around quick. And I used to think it was because of the schedule, the way they set it up there at EWTN and Ave, you got the schedule, you have to take these breaks. That's not it. It's because I talk too much. An insight that hurts.
EWTN is now on Twitter. Get short, timely messages from EWTN on your computer or cell phone. It's easy to stay up to date on a wide variety of topics. Pro-life news, Vatican announcements, catechesis, apologetics, the latest EWTN programming, and more. You can link to EWTN on Twitter from our homepage or go to twitter.com/EWTN. At work, at home, at school, and on the road, stay connected to your world with EWTN's Twitter page.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Discover what others say about Franciscan University of Steubenville. Forbes ranks Franciscan University in the top 10% of all U.S. colleges. U.S. News and World Report puts Franciscan in the top tier of Midwest colleges. And the Cardinal Newman Society says Franciscan University provides a faithful Catholic education. Discover a university that is academically excellent and passionately Catholic. Discover Franciscan University of Steubenville. Find out more at franciscan.edu.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
The Catholic solution to the healthcare problem is here. Are you fed up with the current healthcare system, paying too much for your healthcare cost? Solidarity HealthShare is a healthcare sharing ministry which provides an ethical way to fund healthcare costs while protecting and practicing our Catholic beliefs. Best yet, Solidarity HealthShare's members are exempt from the fines and penalties in the Affordable Care Act. Visit SolidarityHealthShare.org to join like-minded Catholics in sharing medical expenses.
Thank you for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. Lots of calls up there, and I can't get to all of them. So if you are on the line at the end of the program, you have put your time in. You get comp time. In the future, you call back. You will be first up. We have another anonymous call. Everybody's anonymous today. I don't really understand the reasoning for all the anonymous calls. People say, well, you know, I don't want to give my name because people will recognize my voice, but they'll recognize your voice whether you're anonymous or not. Nevertheless, we have a caller who says she was growing up. Her mother made a lot of comments about her, negative stuff. Then now she's doing that with her daughter. Well, well. Hi, caller.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You know, you sound really thin. Are you okay?
You know, I'm not anymore, but as a teenager, I actually was quite thin. First, I should say I grew up in a very loving Catholic home. My mother is a wonderful mother, but she did. She made a lot of comments that I needed to lose weight. I needed to constantly watch my weight, though really I didn't, but that really formed a lot of how I see myself. And I forgive her for that, and I work through my self-esteem issues on my own. However, she kind of caught me off guard. My daughter is only 6 years old, and my daughter is actually very long and thin. She just has a little bit of a belly. She's six. and she wanted to wear a bathing suit that kind of showed her belly, and my mother
didn't show the tattoo, did it?
And now.
Okay, that's good.
My mom said she shouldn't be wearing things like that. She has a fat belly.
It's not flattering. She's not wearing slimming colors.
Yeah, I just...
Did your mother say it in front of her?
She did not.
Well, that's good.
But, yeah, it just kind of worried me that maybe she's going to, and I don't really know how to address that with her without, you know, I don't want to make her feel like she did anything wrong as a mom when she did that with me, because really as a whole, my mom is an amazing mother and she's an amazing grandma, but I just don't want those things to be forming my daughter's viewpoint of herself.
You have to be gentle. You have to be gentle and caring, and you came to the right person for me to give you instructions on how to be soft and gentle and delicate. So what you say to your mom is, hey, Ma, keep the fat comments shut, would you? Okay, no, maybe that isn't sensitive. All right, no, okay, let me rephrase this. You don't have to even allude to anything that your mom said with you. She'll do that on her own. When you say something, she'll probably be thinking, well, she's thinking I did that with her. Oh, boy, I thought I was a good mom, but now she's telling me I'm not. That's probably, if your mom reacts, that's probably how she'll react. I would probably say something like, hey, Mom, you are the most loving, wonderful person I can imagine, except for Dr. Ray. You don't have to put my name in there, but if you would, it would be nice. Tied. It's tied. And tell your mom, say, hey, Mom, she's sensitive about her weight, so I'm careful about saying anything in front of her. That's all. Say it like that. Put it on you. Put it on you. I'm sensitive mm-hmm. about saying anything about her weight. She's already self-conscious about it. You know.
Okay.
And then you could say, oh, by the way, Mom, next week, if you want to go with me, I'm going to be on Springer, where they're doing a show on children who were shamed by their parents because of their weight. I'm gone on that. Did you want to go with me?
Okay, I think I can do that.
All right, well, you can leave the Springer part out. You know,
I will.
But don't leave the part out about how your mom and I are tied for the sweetest person you know.
I will not.
Because I think you look great. I think you absolutely look great.
Thank you, Dr. Ray.
Thank you for the call, dear.
Have a great day. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Tom, Boston, Mass., that big, big monster torch.
Hello.
I think it's AM 1060, 50,000 watts, I think, that blankets Massachusetts. What's up, Tom?
Hi, doctor. How are you doing today?
Hey, nothing gaining on me.
I got a question for you, doctor.
Mm.
My kids are in school. They're age 12 and 15, and they're getting a lot of messages that are, well, they're against our Catholic teaching, the gender-bending issues. And today, my younger son, who's 12, got essentially the privileged, or yesterday, rather, he got the privilege to talk. You know, you grew up privileged, you got this, you got that, and you take it all for granted.
Who gave him that talk?
His teacher. His teacher.
Wow.
His sixth-grade English teacher.
Wait a minute. A person charged with teaching English decided to preach to your son about how he doesn't understand how, quote-unquote, much white privilege he has, and he needs to come to grips with this. Is that what happened?
That's Roger.
That's ridiculous.
It is. Of course, so how do I deal with that? Do I storm down to the school, put my foot down, and say, hey, keep your mouth shut and just teach English? Or,
well, here's the problem you have. You weren't there. And I would suspect that if you do approach something like that, there's going to be some denial and claim that your son misunderstood what he heard. Okay? That it
yeah.
wasn't that. If you're going to approach it, here's what I might say. If you decide to go down, I would say, I'd be kind of confused. I'd say, my son told me something, and please help me sort it out. I know 11, 12-year-old kids hear what they want to hear. He said something about, he came home feeling very guilty because you were talking about white privilege, and he didn't understand all of the stuff and the privileges and all of the good things he has. Was that? Did he tell me that right? And then see the response. If you're going to approach it, see the response. If you're choosing not to go down there, you tell your son, you basically say, well, son, that's a bunch of baloney, and you can ignore it.
Okay, because this isn't the first time he's come to me with something like this. There was another one, again, in English class, regarding Palestinian, the plight of the Palestinians, which I don't think belongs in English class.
No, it doesn't. And this is all ideology, and this is going on more and more. And this is why I'm telling people, if you can, and that's happening, you look for alternatives to your public school. Homeschool? Homeschool? Homeschool co-ops? Charter schools? Catholic schools? Independent Catholic schools? Online schools? Is it a Catholic school?
Yes, sir. No, we actually had to leave a Catholic school because my older son had has ADHD and couldn't the school wasn't equipped to deal with him.
All right. This is happening more and more. There's no question about it. No more reading, writing, and arithmetic. Now we're going to tell you the proper, progressive, secular ways to think, and you better think that way. This is Dr. Ray. I got to run. Walk with God. Hold your kids tight by the hand.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRRay.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Stopping you.